This is the John Richardson Show
with John Richardson.
Hello and thank you for downloading the John Richardson Show podcast. Back this week with the wonderful Angela Barnes. There are more developments in the 30-year tic-tac debate, but it doesn't conclude. We have a brand new John Richardson Show poet with a very, very, very strong entry. I was going to say very, very, and then I realised it warranted a third very. That's how good I think it is. And some chat about trying to find a nickname for Angela and Kerry, which did not resolve. So do send those in, john@absoluteradio.co.uk. Or if you're sort of near sort of where we record in Central London, just scream it really loud into the air and maybe we'll hear it and read it out next week. Thanks for downloading.
How do you spend your Saturday mornings?
With John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
Hello, everybody. Happy Saturday. Hello, Angela.
Good morning, John.
I got on my own nerves then, the way I said that.
Did you?
Yeah, really annoyed myself straight away, two words in.
What, the voice?
Yeah, it was too loud. It was too chirpy.
It was, I mean, chirpy. It's really early, John.
Yeah.
We're comedians. We shouldn't be awake at this time.
It's an odd thing. Yeah, I don't want to be around now, but you're obliged to put on a show, aren't you? Yeah. It's a really hard balance to find between, because what I would really say is, all right?
Yeah, all right, John,
You can't open a show like that, can you? You all right?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, not bad. Yeah.
Isn't it bleak?
Yeah, no.
And guess what? Clock's going back. It's going to be bleaker next week.
Is that tonight?
It's going to be an hour darker. It's tonight, yeah. Did you not know?
I didn't know.
Oh,
I would
love
have been
being
late
the one
for
who gets to
tomorrow.
Tell you. And it's brown bin.
Is that the one where we...
Brown bin this week as well.
Is that the one where we gain an hour or lose an hour?
You
gain
get an extra hour.
So an extra hour in bed tonight. That's a good
thing,
right?
Yeah, but do you want it? Do you want an extra hour? I don't. No. You can have 10 of mine from next week. I'd do a deal on you now. Can it be 6 o'clock tonight? Yeah, fine.
Oh, John, now that's bleak. You're delivering that with a chirpy voice. Take all my time away,
you
please.
Can just have it. You can have, well, not have Saturday. You can have Monday. Should we just not put the clocks back for like 24 years in a row and then just get rid of a day?
But if you get rid of Monday, Tuesday's just Monday.
Yeah, but then Wednesdays. Oh, no.
Oh, no. What have you done?
Anyway, we've got a cracking show for you coming up. I don't think massively about the show coming up in the week because I'm too busy stewing on the show from the last week. That's how I live my life. So if you missed last week's show, here are all the things that happened last week that I need to resolve. Angela, you weren't here last week. This about sums up the show. I would rather not put something out and people have the impression perhaps that is just a ruse and he's actually at Alton Towers with his top off. It's Scarefest as well this week. I'd love to be at Alton Towers.
With your top off.
Oh, that's what I'd do with my extra hour. If I could teleport just an hour at 2 a.m. when nobody's there.
Except the ghouls and the ghosts.
The
and
people.
The
spooks.
Yeah.
Do you believe in ghosts?
No. My lovely friend Phil Gerrard, I don't know if you've ever met Phil Gerrard. He sadly passed away, but didn't believe in ghosts, but really wanted to see one. And he was my support act on tour. And any time we were in any old theatre or he'd ask to be taken like under the stage to go and have a look. So while I was on stage, he'd just be out ghost hunting, desperate to find one.
Never saw anything.
They
don't come out for the people who want to see them. It's a curious thing, that, isn't it? We also discussed brunch and what a clear definition of brunch was. Thankfully, Peter from Norfolk got in touch and we can put that one to bed as well.
Morning, John. Peter here from Norfolk. With regards to your discussion last week about the vague term brunch, here are my simple rules. Anything before 10 a.m. is breakfast. A booking between 10 a.m. and 10:30 is brunch. A table between 10:30 and 11:30 is actual brunch. Anything from 11:30 to noon is lunch. And from noon onwards, we're having lunch. Hope that helps. Love the show.
He sounded like he was auditioning to be an audiobook narrator.
He did. I loved the minute he said, "I'm Peter from Norfolk," as if that clarified which Peter he was. You probably know a few Peters. I'm the Norfolk one. I knew that was going to be good. Blunch and blench.
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 Where does the ench come from? That's
I guess
I'm
it's
confused.
More breakfast.
Oh,
so one's more breakfast than brunch, and
got
one's
you.
More lunch than brunch.
I don't mind what you call it. My only plea is if I'm having breakfast, please don't put salad on it. That's all I ask.
When they put salad on your breakfast?
Put pea shoots on your breakfast.
Oh, I love a pea shoot.
Oh, what's wrong with you?
I'll tell you what, that Monday I was going to put aside. You come round my house and I'll tell you what's wrong with me. And this one really kicked off. We had a lot of debate last week about what the plural of aquarium was, because we were with Kerry. I feel like if you'd been
aquaria.
In last week. Yeah, you see, it wouldn't have happened last week. Yeah. We'd have just both agreed it was aquaria, but Kerry went in very confidently with what she thought it was, and I didn't like to correct her because I've been brought up proper. Anyway, we had a lot of messages, so this is absolute clarity on the plural of aquarium.
Hi, John.
Hi, John.
Hi, John.
Hi, John. Hi, John.
Just to clarify things, mate.
The plural of aquarium is aquaria.
Or aquarium.
So there you go.
All right, mate. Have a good day.
Yeah. See, I studied linguistics at university, so you needed me here for that one, really.
There you go, absolutely.
Yeah, it would have been all right. Sorry, Kerry. I will admit, I listened to the podcast and I was shouting at it when she was saying aquaria. I was going, no, it's aquaria!
I know, and do you know what the worst thing was? I knew it was wrong and I let her do it.
Oh.
Because that's just the kind of piece of work I am.
An enabler.
Yeah, but you can't win there because you don't want to be the guy saying, I'm pretty sure it's aquaria.
Yeah, you've got the choice of mansplain or let her make a fool of herself. That's the choice you've got.
What do you do? Really. And I went with the more noble effort as a man. I'll tell you now, Angela, it's the same here. Yeah. If I see you walk into what you think is a door and I know it's a full-length window, you're going to hit it. I'm going to tell you that now. So brace yourself for
good
impact.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
John Richardson and Angela Barnes.
Hello.
That was good. I said that like a jingle then.
You really did. And yeah, I said a really weird hello. I don't know if you noticed
that.
We'll just skate over that, I think.
No, I liked it. In fact, I don't want you to ever say hello to me in any other way.
Hello.
Especially when we're out of the studio. Next time I see you, like at a gig.
Okay, I'm just getting everyone to go, what was that?
Hello.
Hello.
I was thinking, do you know when you talk about ghosts? Because you and I did the Morecambe Winter Gardens together.
You
kindly came twice.
We did.
Now that must be haunted.
Well, do you remember we got, because we went with 4D, and we got given the tour under the stage.
Under the stage,
do you remember
the showers.
The crypt. And we were trying to be really cool and like, oh, it's like most haunted. But I think all of us were a little bit scared.
Yeah, it does. In the olden days, they used to shower underneath the stage. You've been in the show, so like Laurel and Hardy.
Laurel and Hardy.
Have you heard of them?
Laurel and Hardy.
Yeah, it was. They couldn't afford Hardy. He wouldn't come to Morecambe. But, you know, Laurel would. You've had a big week.
I have had a big week. Yeah, I did my first Have I Got News For You this week.
Well done.
It's quite exciting.
It's terrifying, isn't it?
It really is. You've done it loads, haven't you?
I've done a few now, but you never forget. I'll never forget being in the chair, and obviously they play the theme tune in before you start, and you're so used to watching it. You just think, oh, good, we're not going to do a TV show. We're going to watch Have I Got News For You, and then you think, oh, no, this is the one that's going to go on. And I'm going to be whether it's good or not.
I've got to talk. And when you're sat at that desk, because it doesn't feel like it looks on telly, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So you just go, well, I don't know what this is. Is this, it's so surreal and weird because it's, you know, I was like 14 when it started. So it's been around
It. It was the one thing I used to watch and it was like homework. It's when I started to think, okay, I want to be a comic, and I'd work out, would I have said that? And I used to watch and think, oh, would I be as funny as Paul on The Missing Words? And if you got one that was like what he said, you're like, oh, I thought the same thing as a comedian, so I must be one. And then I had 10 years where I didn't do anything about it.
This explains so much about you, John, that you would watch it like homework as a child. It just says everything we need to know about you, because I just watched it and enjoyed it.
No. You've got life. I'm putting off all enjoyment until I retire.
Fair enough.
I just
shelve it
up. Just absolutely. I'll enjoy life when I'm 65 for 10 years.
That's never backfired on anyone, has it? Saving it all up till they retire.
I got so lucky. I think the first one I did was the Chilean miners. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And it was such a perfect story because it was massive, but it ended really happily. Everyone was out and there was loads of videos of them hugging their family, so you could make jokes about it.
Yeah.
I don't think you can do that anymore. You get in trouble now for jokes, don't you, Angela?
Can't say anything anymore.
So tune in now for 3 hours of silence, just so we don't get ourselves in trouble. Someone who got in trouble this week, and I absolutely love it, is a lady who... Are you in, like, any family, or, like, do you and your husband have, like, admin groups, like WhatsApp groups or anything?
We've got a family WhatsApp group, like, with my mum and my brother and stuff, which is just sort of sorting out things, really, family things.
So is it affection, or is it just, like, this needs sorting, someone needs to phone Uncle Gary?
Of both, and I do have an Uncle Gary. That's really weird.
Very odd. Well, he has asked me to get you to
Uncle Gary, I will call you later.
If you could ring him, he would be very grateful. I'd never heard of this before, but there's a lady in the news this week who is in a family Google Doc, which I think is insane.
That's too work-based. That's like having a family Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah, it's exactly that.
Yeah.
But our producer, Jeff, has got a family
Google
Doc.
You've got a family Excel spreadsheet? My husband has spreadsheets for everything. My husband has a spreadsheet for our meals. That he, I know he's listening to this as well, so he'll be cursing me. But he does have a spreadsheet.
I'm not on his side, by the way. If he's listening, I'm perfectly happy to be on board with this. Family.
I thought you'd like that. Yeah. I thought you'd like that. So he loves it. He like plans what he's going to buy and what he's going to cook every day. And we're Formula One fans in our house, right? I love.
I
Formula
saw
One.
The meal you had. You had the butter chicken last
we
week.
We had what was it? He did
deep fried buttermilk chicken.
Oh,
wasn't
yeah, it was.
I shouldn't know what you've had
been
for dinner, Angela.
You've been stalking me on Instagram.
You had the deep fried. Buttermilk chicken with
we
the
we did because it was the Austin Grand Prix in Texas.
So does he cook a meal for whichever?
But yeah, so tomorrow's the Mexican Grand Prix. So he's doing, I think he's doing tacos tomorrow.
Oh, you sounded a bit disappointed. Tomorrow's Mexican, so I think he's just doing tacos.
Tacos, whatever.
Yeah, he's not really gone for it. Oh, you've married well.
I did marry well, but I don't want him to know that.
Okay.
And I'm worried he's listening, so, you know.
Well, that's what I want this week to be all about. If I will pass on messages to your family. So this woman, she's in the Google Doc,
right?
And it's her mum has said, it's Christmas, I'm starting planning the Christmas list now, so what do you want? And she's replied to say, I'll tell you what I don't want. And then she's listed a lot of things she doesn't want for Christmas. Scented candles, throws. She put, I tell you what I don't want. I don't want admin to do. So don't get me a gift that is actually a thing I have to assemble or put together.
Oh,
it's all fairly reasonable, I think, but the tone is wrong.
But they're things you don't say out loud. They're things you think. Like the scented candle, as a woman over 40... I've got enough scented candles now. I think I've got enough till I die.
Okay.
Because don't even, like, they make me sneeze a bit, if I'm honest.
This is it. I haven't got enough. Nobody buys me a scented candle, but I smell.
Right.
And I want some.
I mean, you know, next time I'm in the studio, I'm bringing you some scented candles. You know that now. That's fine.
I think
I've got to stop.
If you want to tell you, so you've done it now. You've said to your family, do not get me a scented candle.
Yeah.
And you've said it in a, and that's what the Reddit chat was all about. It's fine to do what you've done, but tonally shift it. Just say, hey guys, I've got loads of these, so maybe not those. Don't say, I don't want this.
Yeah.
So if you want your family to know, because you get to an age where you're just known as the person who likes that thing. If you want them to know now, I don't like that thing anymore. You mentioned donkeys.
Yeah, it's just I've got enough. It's not that I don't like... I haven't stopped loving donkeys. I've got a thing about donkeys. I love donkeys, but I've got a small house and I've got enough donkey things now. Because otherwise it gets to the point where you think, oh, my God, any more donkeys and the local news are going to visit. Do you know what I mean? They're going to be like Donkey Lady of Brighton. So
I always think of those as well, that when you... And I'm not looking forward to this day, but when you're not around anymore, there's just a car boot trestle table covered with donkeys. Everyone walks past going, oh, the donkey lady's gone. 50p. She surely loved him when she was around, but nobody needs that many donkeys. But if you want your family to know, I'll pass the message on and I'll do it in, I'm a sensitive and affectionate man. It's what I'm known for.
Absolutely,
John. I will tell them. So if you want your family to know, you can text us on 81215, WhatsApp 0330 123 1215. I'll just pass on the message that so-and-so does not want any more Scalex tricks. He's 52 now. He doesn't have a loft anymore since he moved into the flat. No more
scale electric. I'll take his scale electrics. I got one for Christmas last year.
Well, that's the other thing. If you hear that and you want some, I want your candles.
But we'll do a swap. If you've got any scale electrics, I'll take that. You can have my candles.
Yeah, don't get it. I get whiskey and socks. And I'll tell you what, I'm absolutely fine with that.
We've had a text from James in Honiton.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that his wife bought him two sets of pyjamas last year. But he's the sort of man who wears shorts and a band football shirt around the house. I feel like your wife's telling you something there.
Yeah.
James, do you know what I mean? That was like maybe don't just wear a dirty old band t-shirt around the house.
I find pyjamas quite because I'm the sort of person that if I get a pyjama set, you have to wear the whole thing. It's a very American thing, isn't it? I think Americans have and this it can't be true of real. Maybe there's a real American listening who can tell me what Americans are like when they go to bed. My knowledge of America is based on sitcoms,
right,
where they seem to have 400 pillows. Yeah. And they wear every night full pyjama sets of long sleeves and trousers and socks.
And a little hat. Oh, no, that's Scrooge. I'm thinking of...
But they can't. They must go to bed like normal people, Americans.
Yeah, I'd think so. Well, it depends where you are, I suppose. Like, if you're in California, you're probably not wearing a full pyjama set. If you're in Alaska, maybe you are.
But it must be a telly thing, because on telly you can't have people wandering around with their tops off. But I've got the impression that Americans just can't have anything exposed when they go to bed.
Just fully, and they like balaclava.
Bolt upright. They have like 50 pillows and they sit bolt upright like they're at an office desk.
What have you been watching? I honestly
every
can't
sitcom, I guarantee
that.
It now, you'll notice it. Every sitcom, they go to bed and they have a big throw and they pull it back. And pyjamas, if you get me a set of pyjamas, I'm not going to wear the top but not the bottoms. I'm going to wear the whole thing.
What, you go for the Winnie the Pooh? You go the top and not the bottom?
That's what I slept in last night. A T-shirt and then
don't
nothing.
Don't put that image in my head, John. I can't cope with that. Absolutely
I generally
not.
Go the other way. I like to cover the bottom half and leave the top half.
Yeah.
Just in case we get burgled in the night, I want them to see, oh, you picked the wrong guy. So right. If I leave the top half, they're like,
you're
oh,
so
no.
Buff.
Yeah, it's yeah. We picked Rambo's house.
Yeah, exactly. We've made a terrible error here.
Whereas the Winnie the Pooh is the opposite. It's the same vibe. You
like a
the wrong
giant
house.
Toddler in your house.
But he's objecting to the pyjamas, James.
Yeah, it says, I've no need for one set, let alone two. But Lego, on the other hand, you can't have too much of. So if James from Hollington's wife's listening, okay. Get him some Lego pyjamas, maybe. Is that a thing?
Oh, no, now you've got him more pyjamas.
Yeah, but they're Lego pyjamas.
They sound very uncomfortable.
Yeah, I don't mean made of Lego.
All right, okay. I'm misunderstood. Jeff, you get Star Trek things, you don't want them anymore.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
Star Trek Next Generation specifically.
Thank you.
Jeff said he wants everyone to know he hasn't watched the latest Next Generation. He wants the nation to be aware of that, lest anyone think that he's one of those people.
It's quite sweet, though, isn't it, when people remember the thing you liked as a kid? But it does. I think Star Trek is an insult. You must still like that. You like, you strike me as one of those. Charlie, no more whales?
No.
What sort of whale things are you getting?
Like key rings, notebooks.
Like with dragons
blubber.
On?
No, with whales on.
Oh, the animal, not the country. Yeah, okay, yeah. Fine.
Yeah. And whale football annuals?
Yes, yeah.
Oh.
Not too many of them.
It's a real. I find that quite sweet though, because you will reach an age where you don't get them anymore, and you want them. For my birthday this year, my mum got me a big book of all like whenever Leeds United have been in the paper,
club
all in one thing.
Fine.
Club specific fine.
Generic.
Is there much talking United stuff knocking about?
No need for that.
Here's a sheet of A4 with all the times talking United have been in the papers.
John Richardson. John Richardson.
The John Richardson Show.
Yeah, it's rhyme time. Something happened. We started something of a diplomatic incident a few weeks ago when we named our first resident poet. Kicked off. Anyway, things have been smoothed over. All charges have been dropped.
I think the problem is you don't know what resident poet means.
I don't know any. I know the word poet, but then you start veering off.
Yeah,
you don't understand any of that. Luckily, I think somebody can help. So we have a new application for the role of resident poet.
Amazing.
I mean, it might be about to kick off again and we just reopen our old wounds. Hello, Joe. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you, Bo?
Good. Yeah, good.
Oh, I want to guess your accent straight off. Ooh. Both. It's definitely northern.
It is indeed. You're quite right there.
I think it's more west than east.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Oh, no.
Now then. No. Wrong colour.
Okay, it's the white rose.
It is. Well, yes, it is. Well, right.
Only just, though.
Only just.
Not
only
far
just.
From my old neck of the woods at Hebden Bridge area.
York.
York.
Oh, I was going to say Leeds, so, you know.
Okay, fine.
As well, so, there we go.
It's very good to hear from you.
Thank you. I was just listening to you talking about scented candles.
Oh, yes.
Have you got enough or do you want more?
Always more.
Always
more.
Do you want to put in
a smell, but I like a scented candle.
Do you want to put in a request for a specific scent?
Oh, I love the lime and mandarin and basil.
Oh.
You know, if any of your family listening, that's all you're going to get for every birthday and Christmas for eternity.
Perfect.
Now.
I hope you get one that's just like in a bin. Do you know, like a wheelie bin that is just one giant scented candle?
Just a wick in the
just
top.
Just wheel it in. That's you done for 25 years.
I'm sure wheel it out onto the village green and let everybody enjoy it.
So you've gently elbowed Tracy out of the way as this week's poet. Are you a poet?
Oh, my God. Well, I have been known to write one or two, to be fair.
Lovely. And what is this week's poem about?
Well, it's about not wanting to knock Tracy off the resident poet spot.
Excellent. Oh. All right, let's hear it.
I've listened to your Saturday show at the time I didn't know it, but realise now I'm envious of Trace, the resident poet. Her writing talent is very good, with the passion of a Spaniard, who gets across her point of view until it involves a lanyard. So many things that get my goat, I could be here for hours, but Tracy is your main RP with her witty writing powers. And I don't wish to nick her place as your talented resident poet, but my verse attempts are pretty good, as many say, I know it. So perhaps then we could share the job. If not, I'll do the weather. But be prepared for anything, John, as we may just write together.
It's very good, Joe.
Did I get a bit flirty at the end?
Did get a bit cheeky at the end, didn't it?
I think so.
I'm going to be walking down the street at night. I'm just going to get a whiff of citrus and basil. And that'll be the last thing I remember.
But it's fine because she got the word lanyard in a poet.
You were set a simple challenge and you ticked the box.
Yeah.
I did indeed. Thank you. I'd say
if you truly, Joe, didn't want to knock Tracy off the perch, you would have written a poem a lot worse than that. So
you're right there. Yeah. You're right, Angel.
Beautiful.
Absolutely.
Well, should we settle this once and for all? Should we have a poem on scented candles from you and Tracy next week? No, she's about.
He's done 8 out of 10 Cats Does Countdown. Now, John Richardson does radio. This is the John Richardson Show.
John Richardson here with Angela Barnes. I am about to bring you down a peg or two. It's what I do on a Saturday morning.
It's what I come here for, John.
Yeah, absolutely.
To be brought down a peg or two.
Yeah, your husband did get in touch in the week and said, you really... Because I asked you off air then, is there something you're smug about? And I tell you what, the yes in itself was something we could discuss.
It was, oh yeah.
So I'm excited to hear.
Oh, I'm worried it'll be a bit of an anticlimax now, my smugness. But I was very smug. So do you want to hear it?
Yes, please.
So I did a show last night in Faversham in Kent. And I arrived there, and the traffic was awful. It was really... And when I got there, I'd sort of waited till I got there to get ready for the show, like put my makeup on or whatever. And I realised I'd left my makeup at home, right, when I got to the show.
Okay.
And I've never done a show with no makeup on before. And I really panicked because it's like the world's not ready for my actual face. That's horrific. No one needs to see that. But I had no choice, right? And I was really tired because I'd recorded Have I Got News For You the night before and had a late night and busy day. And so I looked awful and I just had to go on and do the show and it was fine. Like, and I suddenly realised that it doesn't make any difference to my jokes in my stand-up show if I have no makeup on. And I think this could save me time and money in my future, if I'm just the... But then I sort of ruined it by getting up this morning and put makeup on to come and do a radio show.
I was going to say, you're clearly wearing makeup this morning.
Seven in the morning, I was putting on makeup to be on the radio, which
is
insane.
But in fairness, you're being filmed everywhere now.
Well, that's it all the time, isn't it?
You're on 50 Ring doorbells by the time you've even got to the train station,
mate. I feel like I need to have makeup on in case I get a parcel delivered, because even they take your photo now, don't they? And they don't say anything. First, they just whack a camera out and bang, they're doing it.
Oh, no, they want me well out of it when they take that one. They just want the parcel on the doorstep because I've had a few where I've been nearby.
And they've gone,
it's quite
can you
refreshing
move?
When you sometimes round and about get asked for photos to have someone say, just step back, please. Why are you smiling? You're not in it.
Some comics' egos couldn't handle that. I know a few comedians that just could not handle being asked to step out of a photograph.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I like the smugness.
Yeah.
I'm really glad the show went well.
Thank you.
I find it very difficult to not, because we are, and I love being in a profession where your appearance is, I think you're funnier the worse you look.
Yeah.
I don't look like this by accident. There's a chiselled hunk under
here. Is that why you cut that bit out the back of your hair?
Yeah, I'm absolutely very careful to make sure I look old and tired when I arrive at gigs, because it makes me... Les Dawson... If he'd have sorted it, imagine Les Dawson with like a six pack. Not funny. Eric Morecambe mending his glasses.
But it's funny now because there are a lot of quite glamorous comedians now. I love Joel Dommett. I think he's brilliant. But I think comedy's not for you. You should be a pop star.
Oh, but he's comedy buff, Joel. That's a ridiculous body. He knows what he's doing there.
Yeah.
He could have just looked healthy extreme, and then he's gone like action man.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing, isn't it?
I think,
it's only a joke, that, isn't it? Because you couldn't really look like that. Especially when you have kids. I think, have you still got time to look like that? But I'm absolutely fine with it.
Yeah, you see me.
Absolutely fine with it. I'm pleased with the way I look. But I do think, because I do shows, sometimes you do a TV show and makeup will come in and someone says, oh, can you just move that? Can you just sort my hair out? And I think, why? Just say something funny and then nobody will mind what you look like. But it's all to do with society's pressures on us.
I think particularly when you're a woman, you know, there's an expectation that you'll make a bit of an effort. And I always think on a TV show, when you record it, I'm very often the only woman on a TV show. and the men come in to make, like, I'll be having my makeup done and four men will come in and out and have theirs done in the time it takes.
Yeah. I've had a chat with other acts who've said, it literally makes it harder to do my job because I lose half an hour when I could be prepping for the show that I have to look a certain way. And you do have that pressure. So how can I possibly bring your smugness down on that?
Thank you.
However,
John,
I just had to go back to the beginning of what you said.
Thought you might.
When you said the traffic was a nightmare.
Yeah.
I'd like to know when the show started and what time you arrived.
Right, here's what happened.
Okay.
So the show started at 8, mm-hmm. and usually to get from where I live in Brighton to Faversham, it'd be
Brighton to Faversham, it's not Aberdeen, mate.
Exactly, it's not far, right? About an hour and a half, maybe. But it was Friday, so I left early because, you know, and you're going that way towards Dover sometimes. It can get a bit, the M20 is a bit of a nightmare.
It's feisty. Operation Stack and all that.
Exactly.
With all the Sally traffic.
I left at 3:30 in the afternoon. No, 3:45 in the afternoon I left. Plenty of time. But there was an accident on the M25 right in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not that I was involved. I didn't cause it, but they went, oh my gosh, she's got no makeup on and crashed the car.
She can't be going on stage like that.
But so that, and then I got to the venue at 20 past 7.
20 past 7 for an 8 o'clock start?
For an 8 o'clock start.
Should have left at 3. Good morning, Julie. What are you smug about today?
Oh, this is hilarious. So I'm a swimming teacher. And very often you get children that arrive, parents on the poolside, oh, he won't wear his hat, or he don't want to wear his hat, or parents struggling and pulling their hair to try and put the hat on. And then you see children with, like, grey hair because their mum's put talcum powder all over their head to try and prise the hat off. And I go, oh, would you like me to help you with that? So anyway, I take the children in, sit them on the side of the pool, they're all lined up, and I get the hat, turn it inside out, pretend to catch fish with their toes and stuff, and then just make them all laugh. And then when the hat's filled up with water, quickly drop it over their head. It turns inside out and sploshes on. And the child is bewildered. The parents are so impressed, you know, that it's got on. All the other kids are laughing. I mean, sometimes I have to unfold their ears because they've got one.
That's fine. Does that work? But, filling the hat with water and just dropping it on your head?
Yeah.
This could change my life.
I think it's a very important skill to be able to do that.
Yeah, I spent many an hour in a changing room trying to get a hat over my hair and tuck my ears in.
Are you a swimming hat wearer?
I am a swimming hat wearer. Some pools now you have to.
Do you?
Yeah.
I think it's important. You do, because if you don't wear a hat, teacher can't see where all your children are quickly, safety first.
Yes.
But also, nobody wants to swim with other people's hair getting caught up in their fingers and stuff, do they?
No, what I've done... I don't wear a swimming hat, but what I've done is I've shaved a little part of the top of my head. Some people think I'm going bald. I'm not going bald. What I've done is I've shaved a little circle just on the top of my head so that the light bounces off it and you can see me in the water, Julie.
Oh, John, it's so sweet, the stories you tell yourself. It's lovely.
I'm really torn here, Julie.
That helped with streamlining.
Yeah, it would if I put my head in the water. You don't need to with doggy paddle.
Dear.
I'm torn here, Julie, because I love that. And I loved it anyway. And then Angela said she was going to do it. And I thought, oh, my God, when I go swimming, now I'm going to get to see adults pretending to catch fish and then putting their little swimming hat on their head.
I don't know if the pretending to catch fish bit is integral to the putting the hat on.
You were.
I don't think it is. That's just an added extra.
It's just a distraction for the kids, right?
It's part of the pantomime, Angela. Don't not pretend to catch the fish.
Right, I'll do the full thing and I'll video it for you, John.
Thank you.
I don't know how hard it is to do it to yourself, you see. I've not tried doing it to myself. You know, you need to sort of angle yourself, get yourself in the right position to splosh.
So, Julie, you were going to be the first ever Saturday Smugness that I did not challenge and I did not bring down. And it was just that phrase, sometimes it goes wrong and I have to unfold their ears.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you haven't scarred the odd child.
I actually haven't traumatised too many.
I'm pleased to say, just the image of it and that it's such a good trick and that parents everywhere will take it. You are the first ever. I'm not going to ban your smugness. You can be smug for as long as you want off the back of that. I think it's fantastic. Thank you for calling.
Well, thank you for having me. Thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Cheers, Julie. And
bye,
you.
Bye, Julie. Bye.
Get John Richardson on.
John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
Stacey in Swindon. Always good to hear from Swindon. The magic roundabout. Do you know what? I was going to say I had some very happy times there. That would be a lie. I didn't. I lived there for 5 years. And the sadness that I felt in those 5 years was not to do with Swindon. That's probably legally the best thing I can say. Okay.
And it's driven you to the place you are now.
Absolutely. Literally.
Yeah.
It's driven me to where I am now. I was very happy in Swindon. Hello to everyone at the Abbey Mead, which was my local that I went in twice.
Lovely.
Because I was frightened to be on my own in there. But she says, good morning, John. It's not a bald spot. It's a libido solar panel. And
there we go. That's cleared
again,
that up.
I wish I could agree with that as well. But if it is, then it seems to have some moss growing on it. Or something is affecting the energies getting through. That's
all
I'll say.
It's nearly winter, so that would explain
it. That's what it is.
Yeah.
That's what it is. The clocks are going back.
Clocks are going back.
There's a measurable effect.
You should see John in the summer. Oh!
And Mick has been in touch to criticise me, I think.
Oh, John, I know. What have you done?
Well, Mick says, he says he likes the show, and I don't mean to read that out. But he does say he likes the show, so
oh, you accidentally read that bit out, did you, John?
Well, I started reading, and I thought, oh, that sounds awful, doesn't it? But it's good to know that somebody does, and I appreciate it. But usually I don't read that. Everybody texts that. We get hundreds of them. I just never read it. I've noticed, he says, that you often refer to Matt Ford as Fordy, as a lot of friends do to their friend's name in an affectionate way. However, you do not do the same for Angela or Kerry.
It's because we're not friends, isn't it?
Well, I don't know you as well as I know Fordy, but yeah. I just think Angela is a more interesting name than Matt. You know, he literally does a show with a Matt, so you've got a clash of Matts already. So I think if
it's
I say
my
Angela,
husband's name.
Is it?
Matt, yeah.
Okay, there's too many
they're
of
everywhere,
these Matts.
Matt.
You've got to change Matt because there are too many.
Yeah.
It's paint as well, that's all Matt.
Yeah. My husband's full name is, I'll say it, it's Matt Wooden. And when I first met him, I tried to Google him, like you do when you first meet someone now. You know, I just got furniture.
Yeah. And was that a good, would you say, if he's like a piece of furniture, what would you say he was like?
the things on my comic brain wants to
I
say
know,
right
I
now
saw
that
the
I can't
fear in your eyes and I thought, well, that's not
radio.
Where I expected this to go. But if you'd like a nickname, Mick suggests Barney.
I get Barnsey a lot. A lot of people call me
Barnsey.
Yeah,
I think I might have.
I think you've called me Barnsey.
I think I need permission to call you Barnsey.
Permission is granted.
Would you like a better nickname? People
are
listening.
If you could give me a better nickname. I'm always up for nicknames. I feel like it's sort of a stage in friendship has been reached if you've got a nickname.
I think so.
You know.
All right. And are we ready to move to that level?
I think so.
Okay. I'd still like you to call me John.
Yeah,
but,
sure.
if you'd like to suggest what I should call Angela and Kerry, then do so on 8/12/15.
We've had you obviously have to call me Angela Barnsey, which I do
think
get
we
that
take
a lot.
Barnsey's red, red. Though. We're looking for something else.
I'm not sure about the next bit. This is from Jeanette, known as Nanny Jan.
Nanny Jan,
presumably because she's a grandmother, not
a
goat.
Yeah, but I hope not. It would be lovely if it was something else. Yeah,
yeah, it would be. Yeah, maybe she's the greatest of all time. Maybe that's what it is.
Oh, that's very clever. Yeah. Oh, no, maybe I want to be Nanny John.
Nanny
Just
John,
so people
that could
tell
be arranged.
That story, it's because he's the goat. Oh, I like that.
I'm going to call you Nanny from now. No, that's creepy.
I'll tell you what, though, they call Messi the goat, don't they? But Nanny Lionel. That's a very different thing. His legacy would be affected if he was known as Nanny Lionel. All right.
So Nanny Jan has decided that Kerry should be known as God. Now, I love Kerry, but I think that's going to go to her head.
Yeah, yeah. She's called Godlyman.
She's called Godlyman.
So
we should make that clear, shouldn't we? Not just because she's so great.
Picturing saying next week, John Richardson here, joined by God. And I think people will think that I finally flipped. Aren't we all? Now, if you want to see me and God together live, we will both be, I assume, I haven't asked him if he's coming, we'll be at the London Palladium. It's only 3 weeks. Can you believe it's only 3 weeks, Angela?
God,
until Absolute Radio Live. It's absolutely, just absolutely flown by, hasn't it? It's going to be a huge night of comedy. Probably the biggest, I think. That's what they're calling it. The biggest night that I've turned into Donald Trump to do things. The biggest night of comedy.
Biggest crowds ever.
I've been to other gigs. They were small. You can get tickets for that now. I will be there with Matthew James Thomas Ford.
Oh.
Not Fordy. I'm not doing a nickname for him anymore. Matthew Ford will be there. We'll be joined by old Glenno. The old Glen of Tranquility will be there. Glen Moore from old Bez's, D-Bez's breakfast show. We'll be there with Susie Walker. Is that what they call Ruffle? Is Ruffles a crisp thing, but it's Walkers in a different country? That was quite good off the cuff, wasn't it?
You're right, John.
Susie Walker. Well, if you go on holiday, Walkers are called Ruffles.
Ruffles.
So she's
no,
Susie
they're called
Ruffle.
Lays.
Yeah, but I didn't want to say Susie Lay for obvious reasons. It'll be an absolute love-in as well, because old Judy Love's there. And Phil Wang, let's not go there. Let's not. And Anne will be there, a.k.a. Josh Widdicombe. And, of course, Dara the Brain O'Brien. We will be raising money for the Royal National Orthopaedic Hospital charity. It's the hospital that saved the life of old Fordy. I try and soften that sentence because it's quite serious otherwise. Mm. Old Fordy.
You know, old Matthew James Thomas Ford.
Oh, you know, old MJT Fordo. He's still here because of the Royal National Orthopaedic Hospital. They'll be getting the money. You'll be getting loads of laughs. It will be a fantastic night. You can get tickets at absoluteradio.co.uk/tickets. Hopefully we'll see you at the Palladium 17th of November.
John, son of Richard.
John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
Obviously, this is your show. We like to use our skills to help you. You may remember a couple of weeks ago, we got an email from Bobby about a 30-year-old feud she was having with her friend Lisa over which was the best flavour of Tic Tac. Angela, last time you were here, mm-hmm. we had Bobby on the line. She made a good case for hers being the best flavour.
For the right flavour, yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. We need to hear both sides, obviously. So, hello, Lisa.
Hello, how are you both?
Good, thank you.
Very well, very well. Good to hear from you.
Yes, thank you.
This is your right to reply, really.
Mm. It is. It's been a long time.
30 years.
30 years.
It's been... I just know that it's always been.
You can't remember a time before Tic Tac Gate.
No, literally not.
Your team orange, the correct side, the good side of the force. Yes.
Boo.
Yeah.
Do you find you get a lot of people saying, but a Tic Tac is a mint? That's what I'm encountering a lot of. That's the resistance when I talk to people in the street. And it's pretty much all I'm talking to people about now. It's becoming a bit of an issue. But they just cannot entertain orange and lime because the Tic Tac is the origin.
Yeah, because the mint is where it started.
Yeah. And those of us that can accept change and move forward and evolve as people and tongues, we're happy to embrace orange and lime. But you get people like Angela, with all due respect, stuck in the mud, regressive, it was better in my day, you know, bring back national service.
Out of the two of us, that's definitely me that people would describe that as, John, you're right. I don't think it's that we want to deny the existence of orange or lime Tic Tacs. Mm. It's fine. I like the dual purpose of the mint. It's both a sweet and a little breath freshener.
It's not a sweet.
It is a sweet. Well,
go on, Lisa, you talk to her, because you've had this argument for 30 years, so you'll be better placed than me.
But it's like the new Terry's chocolate orange that's mint. So why is an orange-shaped chocolate thing mint?
Yeah, Angela.
But it's not shaped like an orange or a mint. But it looks more like a mint than an orange sweet, right?
You've crumbled quite early, Lisa. I'm slightly concerned that 30 years in, Angela's first point on the shape has floored you, and I'm worried that Bobby might ultimately win this debate.
No, it's because Bobby's
can't
right.
Win this debate.
I am on your side.
Put me through for the last 30 years.
Oh, okay. That's gone up a notch.
Oh, it's got dark.
I'm trying for you. I'm trying to get... I've got a few things lined up for next week. I've got a few people
amazing.
Who I think are going to be Team Orange, but I am encountering a lot of mint resistance.
Don't worry. I've been doing my homework too, John. Don't worry.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah.
I love how competitive this has got.
Yeah, absolutely.
Says the woman who's been doing it for 30 years. She thinks we're being competitive.
And you don't really want it to end, is that right?
No, I don't think there will ever be an end.
Are you worried that if there's a resolution, it'll be the end of your friendship with Bobby? Like, what will you ever have to talk about if there's a resolution to this question? It's quite existential, isn't it, really?
We've got a couple of weeks to resolve it. We'll get you both back on once I think we've got, from our point of view, a definitive answer. Yeah. I've got some stuff lined up for you, Lisa. So stay tuned next week and we'll see what we can do for you.
Saturday mornings never sounded so John Richardson.
John Richardson.
The John Richardson Show.
It's time to discuss some of the stories that you won't have heard in the news. I think they could have made some space by banging on less about Forrest being fifth. What is going on there? Why is that? It's not, you know, I'm glad for him and all that.
Are you, John? It doesn't sound like you are.
Well, that's fifth, isn't it?
Who's first?
It's sort of like a bit of a slam, isn't it? When it's like, aren't you doing well to be fifth? They're saying like, aren't they doing well? But actually, it's a bit of, you should be like 15th or something. What are you doing fifth?
I suppose that somebody's fifth in something is newsworthy.
That's calmed me down, actually. I made myself feel better there.
Oh, good.
But actually, what they're saying is, hasn't football gone mad? What is going on here? So let's kick that story out, free up a bit of space. I thought it was time that we discussed something from The New Scientist. I am trying to drag this show slowly out of the gutter.
Okay.
Can't all be Tic Tacs and tomatoes, can it, Barnsley?
I think you've got the wrong guest.
Got the wrong host.
Yeah.
Don't text in on that. 8-12-16 if you want to comment on that. It's not the numbers 8-12-15. I'm sure I get in trouble for saying the wrong text now. Somebody who's on 8-12-16.
So who's on 8-12-16, I wonder?
Rupert Murdoch getting another text about John Richardson on Absolute. Who's this guy trying to raid New Scientist? That's my Rupert Murdoch, if you're interested. Always a good impression when you have to say who it is. I think sometimes it's nice to know that because we face a lot of great challenges, and I always say to my daughter, very important that you know that schools can teach you some things, but the things that we don't know are the most important things.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that there are brilliant people out there doing brilliant things now, and we don't know anything about it. Sometimes those people are wasting their and our time.
Oh, is this going to be a study? I love, is it a study that you think, who paid for that?
Researchers.
Oh.
It's researchers at the Technical University of Denmark.
Okay. Oh, that's my cousin's a professor there. He's a professor of audiology there. It's not to do with hearing, is it?
This is Leonie Jahn.
Okay, that's not my cousin.
No? Okay. The headline is Make Your Own Yogurt. Which sounds
oh dear.
They've just got a bit angry.
Yeah.
You got any yogurt? Make your own yogurt. I'm actually a scientist. Make your own yogurt by putting blank in milk.
Oh.
Do you want to have a little guess?
Salt?
Salt? It's not
vinegar,
bad.
Vinegar in milk.
Yeah, all more sensible than the truth, which is putting ants in milk.
What?
So if you want, I think it's nice sometimes to just be reminded that yogurt exists and you can just buy it. But
yeah.
if you've got some milk on the turn and it's flying ant day, apparently if you put, and it's live ants, so there's no need for this, but only 4 live ants put in a glass of raw warm milk and then left overnight, and the milk had developed the acidity and texture that mark the early stages of yogurt fermentation. It all sounds really highbrow, but you think basically what you've done, you've got some manky milk, you've thrown a lot of ants in it, you've gone down to the pub for the night, you've come back, and then the next day the milk was slightly rancid.
I don't think they've even done that. I don't think they've put the ants in it. I think they've left some milk on the side and they've got back some ants have gone in it.
Yeah, so that's what they're up to. And I could tell if you're interested, and I know we've discussed plurals and things, it's Lactobacillus delbrueckii bulgaricus.
Let me write that down.
That's the specific kind of lactic acid that you are looking for. So if you've got a free Saturday afternoon, you're watching Saturday Kitchen now, they'll be saying, oh, why not throw jalapenos in your cheese toastie? I'm telling you, why don't you get out there and try and make some Fructilobacillus sanfrancisensis, which is often found in sourdough.
Right.
Yeah, so there you go. Not going to hear that anywhere else.
You're really not.
Are you? The bar has been set, Sarah Champion. I expect you to be reading out multiple species of specific lactic acid bacteria. You've got the challenge now, Sarah. You've got time. Get out in your garden, find some ants, stick some milk in the microwave. I expect you to be eating yogurt live on air, please.
Well, I think you're going to like this one.
Well, I shall make it my mission not to.
Okay, I thought you might. Right. This is in New Zealand.
No, hate them. Too far away. If they want me to care, move closer.
Fair enough.
And
it's
pronounce
24
your vowels.
Hours it takes to get there. I have a relationship shorter
pronounce
than that.
Your vowels, mates.
I did linguistics at university and I had to write an essay on the difference in Antipodean vowels.
Oof.
So there you go.
You didn't have to. You could have dropped out like I did. Fush and chups.
Fush and chups.
Fush and chups.
Anyway, the Dunedin Airport in New Zealand have, they've put up a sign that has limited hugging to 3 minutes. So I don't know about you, John, but that seems like quite a long hug.
I thought you were going to say like 3 seconds.
Yeah, no, 3 minutes. The sign actually says there's a sort of drawing of, I'm showing it to John now, there's sort of a drawing of people hugging.
Yeah.
It says max hug time, 3 minutes. So it's just to get people moving through the airport without these long goodbyes, you know. But underneath it does say, for fonder farewells, please use the car park, which I'm not making a comment on that. But it says that on the sign.
Do you think it's specifically about a guy called Max who hangs around at the airport hugging people?
Yeah.
He will hug you, but only for 3 minutes. So just let him do it.
And then we can all get on with our day.
I like the picture is I bought my nan once some salt and pepper shakers.
Oh, the hug.
The little hugging things.
Yeah, they're lovely. Oh, John, you're
3 minutes.
Sweet.
I don't think I've hugged for 3 minutes thus far in my life.
Well, all the hugs accumulated.
If you add up every hug, I think... And I don't want this to be challenged or called upon. I think I am the least pleasant body shape to hug. I tense. I've got very bony, the bits at the shoulder blade. I'm very tense.
Mm.
I think I hug in a way that makes people feel sick.
I think to get a good hug, you need to... For me, I want to hug someone who's considerably bigger than me. Because you want to feel enveloped in the hug.
Okay, no.
And my husband is quite a slight man. Like, it's a nice hug, but I wouldn't... 3 minutes is a long time, even with my husband, for a hug.
Has he got a spreadsheet for when you're allowed to hug him?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
And is that influenced by what you've had to eat that day?
Very much so. Garlic days are not hugging days.
I like the thing of it, though. I've got no objection to watching people hug, because they're taking up less space, they're more out of my way.
Right,
I'd like those rules extended out to, like, kissing, hand-holding, walking together...
You don't
in
like
fact,
any
being
of that.
Together.
You're like my dog. If
Thank
my husband
you.
And I,
Thanks,
very
mate.
Cute and fluffy. She's got a little bald patch as well.
You're not going to say any more. I thought you'd finished then. You're like my dog.
I was going to say, if my husband and I do have a little cuddle or hold hands, she just gets in between us immediately. She can't stand us.
Oh, no,
it's
not that she wants to be in it.
I think, yeah, she wants, she can't, we can't hug without her.
Oh, that's I have allowed. A lot of questions that I need to ask when people can't hear me.
Okay.
So I'm going to play some tunes and I'm going to ask about when else your dog gets involved.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
Of course, Rock and Roll Football is back from 2 o'clock this afternoon. As you know, we usually ask you to get in touch with their show to prank my friend Fordy, Matthew James Thomas Ford. last week, we all had a break, okay? Matthew was away. He had an undeserved week off. Forest's form has absolutely gone through the roof. Is it a coincidence? We'll find out, I guess. This week, I need you back on your game. As a reminder... A couple of weeks ago, I asked you to try and text in, get him to read types of confectionery on his show. This is the standard that was set by Mark in Ware.
We have had a text about brewing, and Mark in Ware says the nights we used to have in drinking mead in the Star Bar on medieval nights. Without going into it, details one night involved making a lot of mead and a live badger and a very destructive game of Skittles. What? That can't be true.
It's wonderful
nice.
Work. It's a hat trick. It's the Star Bar is lovely work.
Yeah, I forget the Star Bar's a thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
It's not a go-to, is it, really?
It's not a vegan thing, but it's a good thing.
Mm.
So earlier this week, we heard from... Earlier this week. Earlier today. I mean, technically this week.
Well, it is earlier this week.
It was earlier this week. Yeah. Earlier this year.
Yeah.
At some point in my life to this point, we heard from Julie. And it's still in my mind, the wonderful hack, if you weren't here, you can turn her swimming cap inside out, fill it full of water, drop it on. She said a child's head. It can be any head.
Yeah, we should have tried it in the break, shouldn't we? I don't have a swimming hat on me.
It could be the new ice bucket challenge.
Yeah.
The swimming hat challenge. And she says it will turn beautifully the right way around and go on the head and they get soaked with water. Will you try that this week?
I'm absolutely going to try it. I will video it for you, John.
And see whether you need to unfold your ears.
Yes.
So I think on the back of that, if you could get Matt Ford to read any sort of swimming-related terminology. It's a football show, swimming terms. Everybody's diving. So that's you're
There's
straight
a few,
in there,
aren't there
right?
That are sort of, because they're both sporty, I suppose. Like, you've got changing rooms for both.
Yes.
You've got showers for both.
Yes.
yeah. I suppose. So there's going to be trickier ones.
He might get onto us if he's getting a lot of messages about, I wonder what they're doing in the changing rooms in the showers.
Something's going
what
on.
What is going on here? Have you got like an example? Because you love football, don't you?
I mean, I'm such a football fan, John. I love it so much that I never talk about it.
Yeah, it's too personal.
You I can't talk upset. About it. Do they wear an armband in football?
The captain wears the armband. So. Yes. Oh, they should. I tell you what, as well, they should make footballers wear swimming armbands.
Oh, that would be amazing. Then I would watch football.
That would stop.
They had to come out with a full rubber ring.
Yeah, they've gone shoulder to shoulder there, and one of them has been flung into the stand because of the bounce.
Or do it in their play football in their pajamas with having to fetch a brick
like
from
Americans
the other end of the.
Like Americans in a sitcom.
Like Americans in a sitcom. Big,
all the callbacks that happened earlier this year as well, didn't it? We were talking about that. All the stuff we've talked about earlier this year. So text them. The rock and roll football number is the same as ours. Oddly, 8, 12, 15. They'll be here from 2 o'clock. I tell you now, bonus points and probably an instant win if you can make him say either breaststroke or heavy petting.
John Richardson. All right, see. John Richardson.
The John Richardson Show.
Time to tie up all the loose ends before we leave you. I don't think it's been a very loose show. I think it's been quite tight.
Yeah. You run a tight ship, John.
Yeah, I do, don't
you
I?
Do.
Too tight.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah,
I can't
breathe.
To learn. yeah, claustrophobic.
Yeah.
End of thing now.
Yes, okay.
Finished. If
okay,
I could,
John.
I would end every link saying, finished.
It's something, because we're doing all this stuff about nicknames, but what people don't know is that when we're off air, you make me call you Mr. Richardson.
Yes,
it's
please.
It's very, very
well, sir is fine as well.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Several years ago, we took our kids to New York. We did all kinds of fabulous things, but when asked what the best thing about New York was, my son replied, the orange Tic Tacs.
So much wrong with that.
A huge point score for orange there.
Imagine that you spent a fortune on taking your kids to New York. The orange Tic Tacs.
It's always the sweets though, isn't it? Even now.
Yeah.
Even as an adult, I travel sort of hoping to have new sweets.
Mostly for new sweets.
Crisps. Foreign crisps.
Oh, they taste better. Paprika chips on the continent. Oh, yes, please. Nikki's texted in that hugs should be banned. I am not a hugger. She wants that clear.
Yeah, fine, absolutely. We can talk. Kaz Ann says, John, could you please tell my family I do not want any more cockles in vinegar for Christmas because the vinegar repeats on me. And I'm going to go as far as to say, don't buy anybody cockles in vinegar for Christmas.
What an awful Christmas present. Kaz Ann, I don't think your family like you.
That is an absolute gesture.
Isn't it?
And something from Sophie that you're going to have to read because I can't endorse that sentiment.
Okay, I'll endorse it because I don't really get it. But it says, John, I love the show. I get that bit. I think it's almost perfect.
Love it.
How lovely.
Almost a compliment.
Except the chat about Leeds. Mm. If you removed all the compliments about actually any chat about them, then it would be elevated to heights of greatness. Yours, Sophie from Hull. Up the Tigers. Hashtag Hull City.
Rawr. Really worth Googling the video of the fans doing that. You're getting mauled by the Tigers. Arr.
Is that what they do?
It's really cute. And that's the worst thing I can say, because I think they think it's menacing. But it's very cute, that little thing you do when you happen to
There's
be winning
nothing
a game.
Worse than when you think you're angry and somebody goes,
absolutely.
At you, all angry.
Diddums. Do you have a name for the podcast? I've got one.
Have you? I've got No More Donkeys.
Oh, I do like No More Donkeys.
Yeah, that just gets that out there that I've got enough donkeys.
I think we could get Daniel Day-Lewis to sign up for that without seeing a script as well. No More Donkeys. I reckon he'd be...
Country for Old Donkeys.
I've gone for Barnsley's Back with a tic-tac hat hack.
Oh, nice.
It's very rhyming, but I think... The effort is so clear in that it makes me feel slightly sick, so I think we'll have to go with No More Donkeys.
Okay.
Thank you.
How do you spend your Saturday mornings?
With John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
There we go. That's this week's show. No More Donkeys. I would have gone for Barnsley's Back with a tic-tac hat hack, but it was too neat. Next week, we will be live on air, 8 till 11 again. Of course, technically, that's 7 till 10 as the clocks have gone back. And this is the year I say no, I'm not going to acknowledge it. So I will be every time until the clocks go forward again, I'm going to say, well, of course, that would have been an hour later, not so long ago, if it weren't for the farming community. I'm not going to commit to that. Anyway, we'll be back next week. Thank you. And my apologies while I'm apologising to the farming community. And I think that is the most Alan Partridge link I'll ever do. So thank you for downloading. You will pay the price if you're a fussy eater. See you next time. Bye-bye.